The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you.
It's wonderful that we can be together. We start off today reading from the Gospel of Thomas. The first five logia that introduces this wonderful gospel. These are the secret sayings that the living Jesus spoke, and Didymus, Judas, Thomas recorded. And he said, whoever discovers the interpretation of these sayings will not taste death. Jesus said, those who seek should not stop seeking until they find. When they find, they will be disturbed. When they are disturbed, they will marvel and will reign over all. And after they have reigned, they will rest. Jesus said, if your leaders say to you, look, the Father's kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will precede you. Rather, the Father's kingdom is within you, and it is outside you. When you know yourselves, then you will be known, and you will understand that you are children of the living Father. But if you do not know yourselves, then you live in poverty, and you are the poverty. Jesus said, the person old in days won't hesitate to ask a little child 7 days old about the place of life, and that person will live. For many of the first will be last, and will become a single one. Jesus said, know what is in front of your face, and what is hidden from you will be disclosed to you. For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. There is nothing buried that will not be raised. And from Matthew, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hunger, ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I shall also read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Absorbed in material selfhood, we discern and reflect but faintly the substance of life or mind. The denial of material selfhood aids the discernment of man's spiritual and eternal individuality and destroys the erroneous knowledge gained from matter or through what are termed the material senses. Certain erroneous postulates should be here considered in order that the spiritual facts may be better apprehended. The first erroneous postulate of belief is that substance, life, and intelligence are something apart from God. The second erroneous postulate is that man is both mental and material. The third erroneous postulate is that mind is both evil and good, whereas the real mind cannot be evil, nor the medium of evil, for mind is God. The fourth erroneous postulate is that matter is intelligent, and that man has a material body which is part of himself. The fifth erroneous postulate is that matter holds in itself the issues of life and death. that matter is not only capable of experiencing pleasure and pain, but also capable of imparting these sensations. From the illusion implied in this last postulate arises the discomposition of mortal bodies in what is termed death. Let the male and female of God's creating appear. Let us feel the divine energy of spirit bringing us into newness of life and recognizing no mortal nor material power is able to destroy. Let us rejoice that we are subject to the divine powers that be. Such is the true science of being. Any other theory of life or God is delusive and mythological. Man's genuine selfhood is recognizable only in what is good and true. Man is neither self-made nor made by mortals. God created man. Jesus was the mediator between spirit and the flesh, between truth and error, explaining and demonstrating the way of divine science. He became the way of salvation to all who accepted his word. From him, mortals may learn how to escape from evil. The real man, being linked by science to his maker, mortals need only turn from sin and lose sight of mortal selfhood to find Christ, the real man, in his relation to God, and to recognize the divine sonship. Christ's truth was demonstrated through Jesus to prove the power of spirit over the flesh, to show that truth is made manifest by its effects upon the human mind and body, healing sickness and destroying sin. Jesus represented Christ, the true idea of God. Hence the warfare between this spiritual idea and perfunctory religion, between spiritual clear-sightedness and the blindness of popular belief, which led to the conclusion that the spiritual idea could be killed by crucifying the flesh. The Christ idea, or the Christ man, rose higher to human view because of the crucifixion. And this proved that truth was the master of death. Christ presents the indestructible man whom spirit creates, constitutes, and governs. Christ illustrates that blending with God, his divine principle, which gives man dominion over all the earth. Learn this, O mortal, and earnestly seek the spiritual status of man, which is outside of all material selfhood. Remember that the scriptures say of mortal man, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." When speaking of God's children, not the children of men, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That is, truth and love reign in the real man, showing that man in God's image is unfallen and eternal. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Saviour saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. Thus Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy. Man is not a material habitation for soul. He is himself spiritual. John saw the human and divine coincidence shown in the man Jesus as divinity embracing humanity in life and its demonstration. Reducing to human perception and understanding the life which is God. In divine revelation, material and corporeal selfhood disappear, and the spiritual idea is understood. Accompanying this scientific consciousness was another revelation. Even the declaration from heaven's supreme harmony that God, the divine principle of harmony, is ever with men, and they are his people. Thus, man was no longer regarded as a miserable sinner, but as the blessed child of God. Why? Because St. John's corporeal sense of the heavens and earth had vanished, and in place of this false sense was the spiritual sense, the subjective state by which he could see the new heaven and new earth, which involved the spiritual idea and consciousness of reality. This is scriptural authority from concluding that such a recognition of being is and has been possible to men in this present state of existence, that we can become conscious here and now of a cessation of death, sorrow, and pain. This is indeed a foretaste of absolute Christian science. Take heart, dear sufferer, for this reality of being will surely appear sometime and in some way. There will be no more pain, and all tears will be wiped away. When you read this, remember Jesus' words. The kingdom of God is within you. This spiritual consciousness is therefore a present possibility. And I also share from No and Yes by Mary Baker Eddy. The real Christ was unconscious of matter, of sin, disease, and death, and was conscious only of God, of good, of eternal life and harmony. Hence, the human Jesus had a resort to his higher self and relation to the Father, and there could rest from unreal trials in the conscious reality and royalty of his being, holding the mortal as unreal and the divine as real. It was this retreat from material to spiritual selfhood which recuperated him for triumph over sins, sickness, and death. Had he been as conscious of these evils as he was of God, wherein there is no consciousness of human error, Jesus could not have resisted them. Nor could he have conquered the malice of his foes, rolled away the stone from the sepulchre, and risen from human sense to a higher concept than that in which he appeared at his birth. mankind's concept of Jesus was a babe born in a manger, even while the divine and ideal Christ was the Son of God, spiritual and eternal. In human conception, God's offspring had to grow, develop. But in science, his divine nature and manhood were forever complete and dwelt forever in the Father. And also from unity of good, my Mary Baker Eddy. Sooner or later, the whole human race will learn that in proportion as the spotless selfhood of God is understood, human nature will be renovated, and man will receive a higher selfhood derived from God, and the redemption of mortals from sin, sickness, and death be established on everlasting foundations.